It's the North Pole.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not. Where's the snow?
Why are you smiling like that?
I just like to smile. Smiling's my favorite.
Make work your favorite. That's your favorite, okay?
Okay.
Work is your new favorite.
Fine.
Time for the announcement. Okay, people, tomorrow morning, 10 a.m., Santa's coming to town.
Santa! Oh, my God!
Santa here? I know him. I know him.
He'll be here to take pictures with all the children.
Yeah.
Just keep your receipts. 10 a.m. tomorrow.
10 a.m. tomorrow.
Santa's coming to town.
Yes.
Amen. Welcome, everyone, again. I'm Pastor Eric, campus pastor here at Bridge City Church, Murraysville. How many of you know that movie? Yeah. Oh, okay, a little more than last week. If you haven't, I'm so sorry. We need to help you. We will get that movie to you. It's the movie Elf. It's a funny. My dad, actually, he's not a big fan of Will Ferrell, but he'll watch Elf. He thinks it's funny. So it doesn't matter. It's a great, it truly is a Christmas classic. A lot of people, I didn't realize until I looked it up. It was released in 2003. It's like, that seems so long ago, 21 years ago, that movie came out, but truly is a contemporary Christmas classic. And if you haven't noticed by now, we're doing Christmas at the Movies, looking at different movies each week. We started last week with It's a Wonderful Life. This week, the movie Elf. Next week, we're going to be looking at A Christmas Carol, and there's a lot of variety, so you have to come and figure out which one we're going to use, but we're looking at Christmas in the movies, but tying it with the Christmas story. There's a lot with the Christmas story, and year after year, we all hear the same verses, the same stories, and the Word of God always speaks to us, but we want to help relate it with some movie clips and have some fun, because if you don't know the movie Elf, it's all about joy and having fun, and truly being who you were created to be. Buddy was created to bring joy and Christmas cheer to everyone. Just for those of you who don't know, or maybe it's been a while since you've seen that movie, just to give a little context to it, released in 2003, Buddy there, played by Will Ferrell, he's a human raised by elves, right? So his mom died at birth, and he's an orphan. The movie starts off where he's a baby, and he crawls into Santa's toy stack when Santa's delivering toys to the orphans. He accidentally gets taken to the North Pole where he's raised by Papa Elf, right? And he's raised by the elves. He knows all the elf ways of living. But really what this movie does and is so well at, I believe, is it helps us see how the people who Buddy represents, the orphans, the downcast, the most vulnerable people in society that really don't fit in, right? The whole movie, he doesn't fit in anywhere. He stands out. In fact, his own biological dad later, he says, what's wrong with you? Everyone thinks there's something wrong with Buddy because he's always smiling. Like the guy in the manager in the store, why are you smiling? Like that's so different than most of the world we live in, right? Like when you smile and are happy with life, people notice something's different about you, right? What a great witness to people to be able to say why we're so joyful. It's not just because we know Santa, it's because we know Jesus. The real reason for the season. But the code of the elves, this is very, very important. Take notes on this. Giving you a little elf culture here. The movie, this is a part of the movie where there's a clip where Buddy's in elf school. It's where they teach the alphabet, right? The code of the elves is this: treat every day like Christmas. So here's what I want you to do. Just like in the movie, if you didn't see it, it's okay. You can participate. The teacher's teaching the elves and Buddy in elf school, and they read each one of these out loud. So these are the code of the elves. We're going to do 1, 2, 3, we're going to read at the same time. So number 1, treat every day like Christmas. Number 2, there's room for everyone on the nice list. Number 3, the best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear. I should have videotaped that. That was so good. Thank you. I'm going to remember that every day because I treat every day like Christmas. I try to. I sing Christmas songs all year round. For those of you who don't know that, you're welcome. Now you know that information that doesn't help you at all. But the best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear, right? Like I'm somebody, my wife is one up on the keys. She sings beautifully. I don't sing beautifully. I asked her, I'm like, do you want me up on stage? She goes, no. I'm like, I don't need a microphone. I can worship. I just don't want you to hear me worship, right? But we can sing, spread cheer. But the code of Christmas is what we're going to talk about today. There's these three things. What's number 1? Good news. Number 2, great joy. And number 3, going and telling all people. Great news, or good news that brings great joy, and going and telling all people. Man, this is a season of joy, right? It's supposed to be the season of joy. We sing joy to the world. We read about this good news that brings great joy. Well, let me tell you where this comes from. These 3 points are one specific verse in Luke chapter 2, part of the Christmas story. We see in verse 8, that night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby. This is right where Mary, the mother of Jesus, is giving birth to baby Jesus, right? We've all probably heard that at some point in our lives. And that very night that Jesus was born, nearby in the fields, there were shepherds guarding their flocks. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. Now, most Christmas stories or kids' stories, like, it looks nice. There's a blonde-haired, blue-eyed angel with wings, and he's glowing. But the angel appeared, and they were terrified. As I mentioned last week, every time angels appear in the Bible, almost every single time, they start with this phrase. He says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, because there's a reason to fear what they were seeing on the outside. But he says, don't be afraid, because I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. That good news that brings great joy to all people. What's that good news? In verse 11, he says, the Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. You will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. So what's the good news? Jesus was born, but not just Jesus as we know them. If you put yourself, go back in time 2,000 years ago to Jewish culture, these Jewish shepherds, they would have been waiting. It was 400 years since the last time God spoke through a prophet to his people Israel. 400 years, the people of God are waiting for the Messiah. They're waiting for the Savior to come. And here, God breaks the silence in a miraculous way, and he goes to shepherds in a field? Like, why wouldn't he go to a palace or go to the emperor, go to some big public way? But yet God showed up with shepherds in a field, the lowly people. Shepherds were outcasts, almost like second-rate citizens. They were poor. They were looked down upon. Yet this is who God chose to sow himself to and to share this good news. He says, after 400 years, the good news is that Jesus is born. The Messiah is here. He's here. And he says, you can go find him yourself. Go find him lying in a manger. This good news and great joy is for all people. There's so many good parts of the Christmas story of Emmanuel, God with us. And one of the themes I believe is one of the most impactful and important to us to grab a hold of today is to realize God's good news is for all people. It's for all of us. It's not just the elites or the most educated or the richest people, but all people can truly have joy. Because joy is a condition of our heart, not our circumstances. Your circumstances, they come and go, right? There's good times, there's bad times, there's ups and downs and all arounds, there's sleepless nights, there's tragedies, there's all kinds of things. Whether the Steelers win or not should not determine our joy. Amen? Our joy is a condition of our heart. It's a condition of what's happening on the inside, not just on the outside. And how many of you know we need some more good news in our lives? Amen? There's so much bad news, right? We get it all the time. It hits us every direction you look. There's bad news happening. There's wars happening. There's death happening. There's sickness happening. There's all these things. But man, the good news of Jesus is always good. God is always, always good. But to be honest, Christmas isn't always the most joyful time for many people. Because of circumstances, because of stress, because of you got in-laws coming, you got family coming, you got travel plans, how do I pick the perfect gift, and all these stressors in our life, right? But we believe that the joy of Christmas is for all people. That's why there's invites on your seats. You can look around if you're sitting on one. It might be underneath your coat or your purse or your bum. But you grab these invites. Because these are not, we want you to know, in 8 days from today, we're having a Christmas Eve candlelight service. It's actually Christmas Eve, the day before Christmas Eve. the 23rd, because we know people like to do things on Christmas Eve, so we schedule it on the 23rd to make sure you have an opportunity to come with your friends, your family, your neighbors, your coworkers. Invite all people. So I want you to think, and even write down some names of people. Who do you think you can invite this Christmas? The next week, I'd even, don't wait past today, to send a text. You could take a picture of this and send it to somebody. Share something on our social media. You can share those things to invite people to join you for a Christmas Eve candlelight service. It's such an amazing service. It's dark outside. It's dark in here. We all light candles. It's a very memorable and impactful service you do not want to miss. And we want to make sure to invite all people. In fact, I just met a neighbor down the road this week, and just sharing with him, talking with him, invited him to come. He says he's planning to come to candlelight. Met some people in Home Depot talking about Christmas. What are their plans? And inviting them, and they're telling me they're coming to candlelight. So invite people. Every opportunity you get, invite people. Because right now, people need joy. People need good news. Right? You're not getting something from them. You're trying to share something with them. You're sharing the good news that brings great joy. And the scene we saw at the beginning of the message there, Buddy is so genuinely excited to hear Santa's coming. Right? One of my favorite Christmas movies of all time, but nobody else is as excited as Buddy is. Right? When the manager says, Santa's coming to town, he's just making an announcement, letting the staff know, hey guys, just letting you know, Santa's coming. Buddy is so genuinely excited. He says something so important. I know him. I know him. See, everyone else just knew about Santa. Buddy knew Santa. Buddy had a relationship with Santa. He had been raised with Santa. He had a real personal relationship with him. He not only knew Santa, but he loved Santa. And he knew that Santa loved him as well. That relationship is so important to recognize. And what helped Buddy in his life in the movie is he knew who he was. He knew who Santa was. He knew he was a human raised by elves. He had the Christmas joy and cheer within him that it just exuded out of him. His identity was unshakable. And see, Jesus wants us to be that likewise, to be so unshakable in our identity and our faith that we know who we are because we know whose we are. We belong to God. We are children of God, sons and daughters of His. Because of what He's done, that should be unshakable. That doesn't matter what the world tells us. We can know that we are children of God. In fact, what is actually the Lord's Prayer in John 17, John chapter 17, Jesus is praying to God the Father. He's about to go be crucified. And he prays this prayer that it's so full of rich, of really seeing the heart of Jesus. His heart for his disciples, for unity, for us to understand what it means to have a relationship with God the Father. He says, after saying all these things, Jesus looked up to heaven. He said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so he can give glory back to you. For you have given him authority over everyone. He gives eternal life to each one you have given him. And here's the key verse, verse 3. This is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth. Jesus is praying to the Father, and he says, the only way to have eternal life is to know you, the Father. And he uses a word, that word know, which in our English language, you know, if you don't understand languages, English is one of the poorest ones as far as we have so many different definitions for the same word. That word know, right? It has so much more deeper meanings. And so Hebrew, which is the Old Testament was primarily written in Greek in the New Testament, that same word that's translated in our English Bibles to know, in the Old Testament, the Hebrew, it's the word yada, which literally means to describe the intimate knowledge between individuals, such as between a husband and wife, or between God and his people. It implies a deep, personal, relational understanding rather than mere factual awareness. That word know, I mean, he's saying the only way to have eternal life is to know you. He's saying to have a deep, personal relationship with you, not just know the mere facts about you. God is creator, God's the Lord, he died on the cross, was buried, rose from the dead. All those things are facts, but they don't change us or lead us to eternal life unless we have a deep personal relationship with him. The New Testament, the word know is gnosko. It means to know or come to know implies, again, a knowledge that is gained through experience or personal relationship. For instance, how many of you can tell me what is in this? Water. How do you know there's water in it? Well, it looks like water. There's a label that says it's water. Right? You can say, I know there's water in that. I know differently because I've experienced it. I've tasted it. Now I really know it's water. It's not something else. It's not flavored water. It's not anything else that's a clear liquid. I know it's water because I've experienced it. Beyond that is, you can say, I know so-and-so. I know, you all know, most of you know my wife, Rachel. I know her a lot more intimately, more personally. I've experienced her in a relationship that's different than anybody else. If you're married, likewise, we can know somebody, but when you're married to them and you live with them, you have a relationship with them, you know them more than anybody else. And not just comparatively, but you know them more intimately. You know them personally. You know, parents, when your kids cry, you're like, oh, that's my kid crying. You know them. You have that relationship. Likewise with God, he wants us to know him, not just know about him. He wants us to experience him, to have a life with him, to know his character, his nature, his personality. Like, what types of things, and to hear his voice, as Jesus said, he wants us to know him more personally and relationally. So we're going to take a look at another video clip where, because Buddy the Elf knew the real Santa so well, he could spot a fake when he saw one.
Santa.
Hey, ho, ho, ho!
Ah! Yeah! It's me, Buddy! It's me!
Hey, buddy, how you doing?
It's me!
Who the heck are you?
What are you talking about? I'm Santa Claus.
No, you're not.
Why, of course I am!
Well, if you're Santa, what song did I sing for you on your birthday this year?
Happy birthday, of course. How old are you, son?
Four.
You're a big boy. What's your name?
Paul.
And what can I get you for Christmas?
Don't tell him what you want. He's a liar.
Let the kid talk.
You disgust me. How can you live with yourself?
Just cool it, Zippy.
You sit on a throne of lies.
Look, I'm not kidding.
You're a fake.
I'm a fake?
Yes.
How'd you like to be dead? Huh? No, he's kidding.
You stink.
I think you're going to have a good Christmas, all right?
You smell like beef and cheese. You don't smell like Santa.
Okay,
go. He's a monster! He's a fake! He's a fake!
Come here!
I swear! He's a fake!
What a great, great clip. You know, Buddy knew that that was not the real Santa because he had spent time with the real Santa, right? He knew the real Santa. And likewise with us, when we know God, you know, I think so many people, they wrestle with, how do I hear the voice of God? Any of you ever have that? You wonder that? You want to hear his voice. You want direction and purpose for your life. One of the best ways to do that is to spend time with God, to read the Bible, to pray, to be around other Christians, and to really hear the voice of God so you know when you need to hear his direction, his voice, you know what he's saying. You know it's him, not some other voice or even yourself. Another thing that we see is really how Buddy, everywhere he went, he spread Christmas cheer, right? So much so he wanted to make sure these kids didn't talk to the fake Santa. Like he's like, don't go, don't tell him, like don't tell him, little boy. Likewise, in the Christmas story, the shepherds, when they had this vision of the angel of the Lord, they went and told other people about it. They told other people. They wanted to spread the truth of baby Jesus coming. In Luke chapter 2, verse 16, talking about the shepherds, it says they hurried to the village. It's right after they get the message from the angel. They hurried to the village. They find Mary and Joseph, the parents of Jesus, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherds' story were astonished. Astonished. How many of you have experienced that in your life? You've had something that you know God spoke, or God showed something, or God confirmed something. God just made himself real to you, and we go and want to tell as many people as possible. How many of you have had a really, really great meal somewhere? Anybody? Think of like a really good steak or a really good meal. And you want to tell other people about how great this restaurant is, or how great the service was, or how great a movie was, or how great. But yet, when it comes to the things of God, we often hold back. We often like, well, I don't know if they want to hear this. Or I don't know if telling them, I don't want to force my religion or my beliefs on them. And we can hold back rather than just having this relationship with God that just exudes out of us. The joy that just comes out of us. Buddy wasn't trying to force people to know and believe in Santa. He just knew who he was. And it was naturally a part of what he did and how he lived. In Romans chapter 10, it actually is quoting a book of Isaiah, the Old Testament prophet Isaiah. In Isaiah 52:7, it says, "How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of the messenger who brings good news, the good news of peace and salvation, the news of the God, that the God of Israel reigns." What if instead of trying to convince people a doctrine or theology or get them to come to church, what if we just say, "Hey, I got good news for you. Jesus loves you, he died for you, and he wants you to get connected to a body of community, of like-minded people, to help us grow in our knowledge of God, not just information to study, but in a relationship with him." Share the good, people need good news. If there's nothing you get out today other than people need good news, and you have it to share with them, because it brings great joy to all people. We want to share that good news. But it's often easier to fit into the world than to stand out from the world, right? Like in the movie, Buddy, he made him change his clothes. He wore regular, a business suit. He had him come to work with him and drink coffee. And Buddy's like disgusted by the taste of coffee because his main diet was sugar, right? So, but he tells him to go work in the mailroom, this deep, dark dungeon of the building they're working in. They tried to make Buddy fit into the world. And it worked for a little bit, a couple hours. But if you've seen the movie, you see Buddy has the whole mailroom dancing and having fun and singing Christmas songs. That's just who he was. Right? That was his character. That was his identity. And instead of trying to fit into the world, why don't we stand out from it? Right? Stand out from the world and get back to sharing the good news. You know, it's not always easy to do. But one of the ways we can do that is by having a childlike faith. Have a childlike faith. You know, children are not afraid to say anything. Right? There used to be the show, Kids Say the Darndest Things. Well, I have real life stories. I have kids. So 9 years ago, actually, my son, who's 14 now, when he was 5 years old, never one of my best memories of funnies, of embarrassment, really, as a dad. But my wife and I have Dalton. He's about five. We're in a clothing store. And he sees two ladies who are wearing the burkas, the full head coverings, and just their eyes are visible. And he comes running up to me so excited. He goes, "Dad, Dad, look, ninjas!" I'm like, "Honey, let's go. Get to the car. We're leaving." But man, kids just say the darndest things, right? He was so genuine. He was so excited. He'd never seen ninjas in real life before. He was so happy to see them and tell me about it. Man, kids can say the darndest things, right? But man, he had just such a childlike faith. And you know, I'm convicted at times because I see what people post on internet and what people are standing for. People that worship demonic things and Satan, they have quantum portal activations. And there's all kinds of bizarre stuff. And I'm like, these people really believe this stuff. Yet they're not afraid to invite other people to it. Why do we hold back inviting people to the living word of God, to a relationship with the only one who can redeem them, forgive them, help them walk in victory and freedom? Why wouldn't we share that good news with others? Right? In a culture of intelligence and information, it's interesting, an example of what Jesus did. In Jesus' culture, the religious leaders had a high emphasis on education. I'm all for education. I think we should be educated. We should be smart. We should grow, read books, study. But in this culture of information, Jesus does something so interesting. In Mark chapter 10, he says all the children were trying to get to Jesus, and his disciples were keeping the kids from getting to him. It says Jesus saw what was happening, and he was angry with his disciples. They were preventing the children from coming to him. And Jesus says, let the children come to me. Don't stop them. For the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. I tell you the truth. Anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it. Then he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on their heads, and blessed them. This is a very significant statement. Again, the Jewish culture would have been, do all the right things, follow the law. In much of our denominational or church history culture that many of you maybe have come from, it's do all the right things. Be a good person. Have all your life in order. Have more good than bad, and God will let you go to heaven. That's a lie from the pit of hell. That Jesus himself said, unless we have faith that it's by grace and God that is the only way we can truly be saved, he says, you won't receive the kingdom of God unless you enter it like a child. Have childlike faith. Again, not childlike intelligence or childlike experience, but a faith that says, I just believe what Jesus said is true. I'm going to take the word of God as what it is. It's the word of God, and just believe it. Instead of trying to figure everything out analytically or figuring it all out within the natural, this is a life of faith. We have to believe some things without seeing them or being able to prove them dogmatically, to have childlike faith. But I have some questions for us. What if we desired Jesus like kids desired Santa? What if every Sunday morning we got as excited as kids do on Christmas morning? That we looked at church different than just, I have to be here. I know it's the right thing to do. I'm trying to figure out the spiritual walk, which are all good things. But what if we looked at church like kids looked at Christmas? We're going to have a time to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We're going to hear his word and believe that he speaks to us. I'm just the conduit for his word and his message. You know, in a culture where Santa is known, he's praised, he's worshipped, where we say, you better be good, Santa's watching. What if God was known, God was praised, God was worshipped, and instead of Santa watching, God is watching? How much different would we live our lives? How much different would we look at church and our faith and really getting back to that place of childlike faith? I'll be honest, I don't know your backgrounds, your childhood, but I didn't have the best childhood. A lot of people have a lot worse, but parents divorcing at one of six kids, had a stepdad that always told me I wasn't his. He made sure, you're not my son, you're not my son, you're not my son. My half-siblings were always that, half-siblings. It was never like, why can't they just be my brothers and sister? They're always the half-siblings. That was a part of the culture and the home that I grew up in. Good news was very rare to ever hear or find. It's always negative. Things are bad. The world's bad. Many of you, you missed out on your childhood, on a good childhood. You didn't have Christmas as something that was joyful and positive, but was probably stressful and fighting and negative. And, you know, a lot of people say their most memorable things from Christmas or holidays were family fights. That's horrible, thinking about what you've missed out on. And not just to go back and try to relive childhood memories, but what if we move forward? What if we decide this Christmas in 10 days from now is going to be different? What if we decided, I'm going to have joy because it's internal. It doesn't matter what happens outside. If the food gets burnt, if somebody doesn't show up, if it snows and we're supposed to travel and we can't, I'm still going to have joy. Choose joy because it's what's happening on the inside, not what's happening on the outside. And what if this Christmas you got to invite somebody to come to church to hear a message of good news that results in them having great joy, that changes their life, not just adding a little good, but can transform them for eternity? What a wonderful Christmas that would be if we could help be a part of somebody else's life being impacted for eternity. You know, the story with the shepherds, I wonder, like, what if they just didn't go? What if they had this vision and they say, man, that was some rough kibasi or something. You know, I got some indigestion. I had this crazy dream. Or they just said, wow, that was God. I'm so scared. But I got a lot to do. I'm busy. Kids got soccer. I got so many things on my schedule. I got to wrap all these gifts. And, you know, they were guys. So they're probably like, I got to find some gift bags from last year to put my gifts in. You know, they're probably looking. They could have made all these excuses of why they wouldn't go. They would have missed out on seeing the Messiah, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, baby Jesus, born of a virgin, the Savior of the world. What if they didn't go? See, they had this holy moment. That holy moment should lead us to movement. We've all had holy moments. I believe we've all had moments in time. Maybe today is a moment you're going to have that God's now moving you to action, to go do something with the joy inside of you. Do something with what you have received. There's a few things I want to make mention of coming up in January. Prayer and fasting. We actually have prayer and fasting. We're doing 3 weeks for 3 days at a time. So you can put these down in your calendar. Monday through Wednesday, January 6th to 8th, 13th to 15th, 20th to 22nd. We have 3 days that all as a church, all four locations, we're going to have dedicated prayer and fasting time. Each Sunday night, there's a worship night starting at New Year's Eve at our North Braddock campus. Then the January 5th, 12th, 19th, each of our locations. You can take a picture of this. You can write it down. These are opportunities for you to go into action, to be around people. Am I expecting everyone to be at everything? No, but you go and get as much of Jesus as you want. There's worship nights on Sunday night. There's also prayer nights on Wednesday nights. January 8th, 15th, 22nd, right here at this campus, and each campus is having their own, 6 p.m. Why are we doing this? We want to launch into the new year with the right focus of prayer. Fasting is just going without food for spiritual purposes, to draw closer to God, to hear his voice more, to really get refocused, recentered, launching into the new year. So there's a Sunday night, a Wednesday night throughout January. I want you to know these dates, to be here. Just show up. There's no sign-ups. It's just show up. Show up and bring friends. Bring and invite people to come experience God as well. So in the movie, you know, Buddy the Elf, he's solid in who he is. He knows who he is. Jesus knew who he was, right? Jesus knew who he was because he'd known the Father. He says, the Father and I are one. Buddy was confident in who he is because he knew who his dad was. He knew who Santa was. And we can know him not just from a distance, not just like the water bottle. You know this isn't water just because of a label. You can experience it as well. You don't know God from a distance, but you can have a personal, close relationship with him. And we get ready to look at our last video clip. You know, Buddy, his dad, Walter, in the movie, his biological dad, he rejects him. He says, there's something wrong with you. You're mentally unstable. He goes, I don't want you in my life. Get out of my life. And Buddy runs away. And then they run into each other when Walter and his other son, Michael, they go looking for Buddy, and they find him in Central Park. This is where we pick up.
Hey! You found it!
Buddy!
I need to tell you something.
I know, Buddy. There's something I have to tell you right now. I didn't mean anything I said back there. Not a word. I know you may be a little chemically imbalanced, but you've been right about a lot of things. I don't want you to leave. You're my son, and I love you.
It's a comedy, so it's not as heartfelt, touchy-feely as, you know, it could be. But ultimately, he meets his dad in Central Park, and he hears those words, you're my son, I love you. Isn't that what we all long for, is to know that we're accepted as a son or daughter, and that our Father in heaven loves us? Many of us never heard that from our biological dad. But I want you to know something. God in heaven loves you. He wants to know you as a son or a daughter. He wants you to call him Father. In Romans 8, Paul writes to the church, he says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba, Father, for his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children." If you're here today and you say, "I've never really known God as Father. Maybe he's the big guy in the sky. Maybe you acknowledge God exists. You see evidences of his creation, his power. But do you know him as Father? Do you call him Dad? You say, "God, I don't just want to call you God. I want to say Dad. I want to say my Heavenly Father," as you pray and you talk to him. He wants you to know that you can be a son or a daughter of his. When you trust that your spirit unites with his spirit because of what he sent Jesus to do on the cross for you, you can truly be forgiven of your past. Don't try to be perfect to start a relationship with him, because you're never going to get there. He accepts you just as you are. Trust me, my kids make mistakes. I still love them because I'm their dad. God still loves you even though you've screwed up, even though you've made mistakes, even though you're not perfect, but he still loves you because he's a dad. He's a perfect dad. So in this moment, if we could have every head bowed, every eye closed, I want you to do a couple things. I want you to reflect on God being your Father. For those of you who've made that decision, he's been your Father, he is your Father, just say thank you for him. Just say, "God, thank you for being my dad. God, thank you for accepting me and loving me, looking past all my failures and seeing your son Jesus in me." And this attitude of prayer and reflection, with every head bowed, every eye closed, I want to offer you this moment right now. You say, "I don't know for sure that I have a relationship with God." Not that you've acknowledged him, not that you know some information about him, but do you have a relationship with God? You can start that right here and right now. The first step is saying yes to him. So on the count of three, I want you just to slip up your hand and say, "That's me. I want to begin that relationship." Maybe you need to get back on track with that relationship. But on the count of three, I want you to slip up your hand. It's every head bowed, every eye closed. And I want to pray for you. So 1, 2, 3. And oh, Heavenly Father, I pray for those hands raised right now. But God, for every person that's making that decision to begin that relationship with you or to get back on track with you, God, I pray that they would know, not just at a distance, not just information, but beyond the facts, God, they would know you as the loving Father. God, they'd accept you as the forgiver of their past and the leader to their future. God, I pray for every single one of us that we would know you as Father. We would call upon you as Dad. That, God, we'd be so excited to have a relationship with you that, God, people would look at us like they looked at Buddy, so excited that you are our Father. God, I pray for joy this season. God, I pray for an overflowing joy upon every single person in this room. God, that we would be people that are magnetically drawing people to you, pointing people to you. God, helping people have the good news that leads them to great joy. Father, it's in your precious Son, Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.